Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 27, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And folks, you can always, if you mail me a letter in the mail and you have a prayer request on it, return address, I'll take it to our service. We will anoint it with oil, and we will pray over it, and then I will even send it back to you at no charge whatsoever. Something that I just do for you. You can also send me, just to show you where my heart's at, you can go to my website, which I'm going to tell you is in a minute. You can go there, send me an email with your name, address, and phone number on it, and your prayer request. We'll do the same thing. We'll pray over it. We'll anoint it with oil. We'll pray over it. I'll mail it back to you so you can keep it. So pray about that, or you can call me. And we gave you the phone numbers, right? But you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, as well as email address, at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And you can always go to messiahsbranch.com also. But prophecyhour.com is where you'll find the latest breaking news, and it's really a hub for all of our ministry work. So you can go over there and find links to everything, how to contact us, the mission church, all of those things can be found there. Now remember, we are a satellite radio program, which is national, and we are on several FM stations, and we are simulcast on the net live. So folks, remember, airtime and all these things cost. So pray about supporting airtime, even if you don't want to support the ministry to the homeless and poor and the salvational things. So pray about it. Our program archives, again, can be found at prophecyhour.com. Go over there and check it out. It's really smartphone friendly. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will, nor our guest's will, Father, but your will, so it'll glorify you and not glorify the world. So, Father, please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we got Pastor Carl Gallup back on with us. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host, heard nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of PNN, that's P.P. Simmons, News Ministry, News and Ministry Network, member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama, of course. Carl's written four books now. Carl's written four books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhar Kaderi and His Prophecies of the End Times, The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith, and another book that he wrote was called Final warning. Wow, I lost my chain of thought there. Well, actually, I didn't lose my chain of thought. I just hadn't refined my notes, folks. Anyway, he wrote a book called Final Warning, and we talked about it a bunch of times. But also, tonight, though, Carl has been kind of hinting around about talking about this other book that he just now has written, and it's called Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for the Persecution in Times of Trouble. Well, let's welcome Pastor Carl. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much for having me on again tonight. Looking forward to this.
You always have such a joyful and upbeat voice. I just love you to death, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in the End Times. A lot of people would think, well, all they got to do is just believe in Jesus and sit out on the couch, and they're prepared. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's one of the themes. That's one of the themes of my book, and let me just say, thank you for wanting to talk about this. I'm really excited about talking about this book. The people that have read it are just going crazy over it, and I think it's going to really be very useful to a lot of Christians, a lot of churches around the world. But yeah, you know, there is an attitude of, look, I'll just have faith in the Lord. I don't have to do all this preparation stuff. You know, I don't want to look like a crazy prepper, and this book, by the way, is not crazy prepper stuff, but it's about the biblical mandate to be prepared. Go to the ant, you sluggard. See how he stores up for the winter, you know, et cetera. But, you know, Noah was the first prepper the world ever saw for 100 years. He prepared for the coming wrath of God. And folks listening to us tonight, I got to tell you, God's wrath is on the way again. I don't know when. I'm not setting dates and times, but man, the prophetic convergences that are happening before our eyes are undeniable and unbelievable. And so we need to be prepared spiritually. We need to be prepared emotionally, mentally. We need to be prepared physically. And I don't mean your body physically. Of course, that needs to be prepared. But I mean just stuff around you. You know, the seven basic needs of life, food, water, clothing, shelter, you know, medical supplies, tools, perhaps a weapon or two to kind of defend yourself if need be. And but the book is written it's very balanced, Pastor Dan. And
yeah,
but what I say to Christians that would say, no, we just got to have faith, I said, well, look, and I say this in the book, look, of course we walk in faith. Of course we walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, you can make all the preparations you want. You can stock your house to the roof with food and water and guns and ammo, and a tornado hits it, or the earthquake, an earth opens up and swallows it, and you have nothing. I mean, so our ultimate trust and faith is in God, yes. But to say, well, you know, I'm just going to have faith. In fact, it's kind of a sign of faithlessness if you're making preparations and stocking up on stuff. I say to people in the book, really? Is that true? Do you have insurance? Do you wear a seatbelt? Do you have fire extinguishers? Do you have burglar alarms or fire alarms or smoke alarms? Do you lock your doors at night? Do you buy groceries? When you buy groceries, why don't you just quit buying groceries and say, you know, I'm just going to have faith in God that food's going to show up on my front doorsteps. And when you buy groceries, don't you buy for several weeks at the time, sometimes a month or two at the time? Why do you do that? Why are you stocking up? Why are you prepping? Why don't you just go every day? You'll say, well, it saves money. Okay, so you're making preparations and plans to save money. You're trying to be smart. Okay, that's all this book says. Look, Christians, don't be idiots about this. I live in Hurricane Alley, Pastor Dan. I've been through Katrina and Ivan and Dennis. I've lived as a pastor in this area for 30 years. We have dealt with the devastation and the death and the destruction. I've lived where I would wake up the morning after a storm. Excuse me, not wake up because we didn't sleep, but I would go outside the morning after a storm, and it looked like a nuclear bomb went off. And for days, in fact, after Ivan, it was several weeks before grocery stores were opened and gas stations were opened and roads were cleared. It was days before we had any law enforcement. Law enforcement couldn't even go up and down the roads. A lot of them were at home taking care of their families and their homes that were utterly destroyed. The jail and the law enforcement.
Let me ask
you. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, and during that, you know, those people that wait, you know, the people that wait till the last minute think, well, okay, the storm's now coming. I know for sure I can see it, or the weather reports, and they rush to the store. The stores are immediately sold out, and that's chaos, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. In fact, and people go crazy. I mean, if they think they can't get food and water and gas, and I mean, people, they hurt each other. Your sweet little next door neighbor can turn into a killer and a disaster where they think that they're going to die. And so, yeah, food. Listen, a lot of people don't realize. People in the city. The old joke is, you ask a guy from the city, where does milk come from? He said, well, it comes from the store down the street. You know, milk comes from a cow out on a farm that somebody raised. It doesn't come from the store down the street. But people think that, and they think, well, I'll always have milk because I'll always have the store down the street. It's been there since I was a kid. It'll be there. Well, but what people don't know is that most grocery stores, even major chains, they only carry a total of about 4 or 5 days of food supply. And then they're constantly restocking and getting new shipments. They don't have an endless supply of food in a grocery store. I mean, and if the interstates are down, or if there's civil disturbance or martial law or some terrorist attack or a nuclear bomb or some devastating natural disaster, that store might not open again for weeks, maybe months, maybe never in some cases. So
yeah,
what are you going to do?
Let me say something about that. You know, people, you're talking about stores, you know, a few days or whatever. I travel on, especially, well, on our missions in churches in Wichita, Kansas, and we never get done till very late. So that puts me traveling, you know, the 60-mile journey from Wichita to my little town that I live in, you know, very late at night. And so I often stop at Walmart late at night, like after 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, I can't get to a lot of the aisles in there because, Carl, every night they're restocking shelves. There's trucks lined up, and from about 1 o'clock in the morning till about 5 in the morning, they are restocking every night. Back to you.
Exactly. No, that's a perfect point, Pastor Dan. I mean, and it just, this book, listen, it's not an alarmist book. I've been a cop for 10 years. I've been a pastor for 30 years. I am asked every week, especially living down here on the Gulf Coast, for years, people say, how should I prepare? What should I do? Should I buy extra food and water? How much should I have? I don't want to look like a fool. Should I have a gun? Should I have ammunition? Should I have a bunch of guns and ammunition? I don't want to look like some kind of survivalist. What kind of things should I do? How should I prepare? Or should I just be, you know, walk in faith? And then you get into the tough questions like, well, you know, how should Christians respond to, you know, you say preparing for persecution, but what about turn the other cheek? What about the martyrs? Did Jesus say we should have guns? Should churches protect themselves? Should churches have security teams? What about Romans 13 that says we should just always obey the government? Shouldn't Christians just kind of be meek, little humble, you know, people walking around saying, I'm just living by faith, you know, whatever you want to do? And so I answer all of those questions and many, many more in this book with biblical, sound biblical understanding.
Amen, and I really can't wait to read it. Let's just focus on a couple of points because, you know, naturally, there's no way possible we could do the whole book, and I haven't even had a chance to read it yet. But something that you brought up, and I think that we'll use that for the rest of this half, maybe, if it takes you that long. But a lot of Christians are just like that. Oh, touch a gun? I shouldn't have a gun. You know, can you justify for the people how they can, you know, as a Christian, they can carry a gun and own a gun and defend themselves?
Yes, let me do that. Thanks. Yeah, and we could talk about this for hours, and I won't. I'll give the brief answer to carry us to the bottom of the hour. And that is this. Look, I know that gun ownership and gun use may not be for every single listener. There are people who have aversion to guns. Some have been hurt by guns or traumatized by guns, and they just can't stand the thought of. I understand that. But you still have a responsibility to protect yourself and those around you, especially innocent ones, especially if you're a parent, a mother, or a father, and you have children, of course. I'm a pastor. I'm responsible for the relative security of people who come to church there every Sunday. So the bottom line is this. People say, well, you know, would Jesus carry a gun? What did he say? What does the Bible say about self-defense? Listen, my book, the foreword of my book, is written by a gentleman by the name of Charles Van Wyck. Charles Van Wyck, he wrote the book entitled Shooting Back, The Right and Duty of Self-Defense. Charles Van Wyck is a pastor and a missionary and an internationally renowned best-selling author because he is known as a hero in South Africa. He's South African. And he wrote the foreword to my book. He tells this story, and I tell more of it internally in my book. But he was in a mega church in South Africa. They were running well over 1,000 people. He was retired from the police force. He carried a concealed weapon, and in South Africa it's very difficult to get those permits, but because he was a cop, he had one. The church members, most of them were, you know, kind of leftist pacifists, you know, and, oh, you know, we don't like you having that gun in here, and we don't think you need to have faith, you just need to have faith. Well, one Sunday morning in South Africa, not too many years ago, Charles Van Wyck was sitting in the congregation, pistol on his side, under his jacket, nobody knew he had it, just a little revolver. And the doors burst open, 1,000 people inside, a group of terrorists had shown up, they lobbed a couple of hand grenades in the congregation and killed 40 people, and then they opened fire with their guns. After Charles got his bearing about him, he pulled out his revolver that had 6 shots, that's all he had, and he started firing at the terrorists, and they fled and screamed like little girls because they're cowards. These people are cowards, and they usually think that they're in a sitting duck area in a church or something. And they fled. He chased them out the door, shot at them as they were going away. One of them was hit. I think one might have been killed later. But eventually, when they were caught, they told the police that they were intending on killing everybody in there. They were going to kill over 1,000 people, men, women, little children, babies, boys and girls. They were going to kill them all. And Charles Van Wyck, the only person armed in that huge church, saved a massacre. I mean, 40-something people were killed because that was just the initial shock of it. But he saved 1,000 lives plus probably more. So, you know, I tell people, look, people who say, well, yeah, I don't think Christians should have a gun and we need to turn the other cheek, et cetera, et cetera. And I say, really? You really think that? So tonight at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're in bed and somebody kicks your front door in and they come in with baseball bats and machetes and they start going down the hall to the rooms of your children. Are you going to look at them and say, go ahead and do whatever you want. I'm going to turn the other cheek. Well, of course not. If you had a gun, you probably would begin trying to neutralize them, even kill them, to protect the lives of your children. So Christians need to be rational about this. What did Jesus say about protecting yourself? Well, two things I can think of immediately. I've got both of these in my book and some others as well. What did Jesus say? Well, right the night before he was going to be killed and crucified with his disciples, he told them, he said, look, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but this is what he said. He was having an intimate conversation. He said, guys, tough times are coming. Evil men are going to get me. They're going to nail me to a cross. And you guys are going to be hated and hunted down. And he said to them, he said, look, if you've got a coat, an extra coat you can sell, even sandals, sell them. Buy a sword. You're going to have to protect yourself. Now, back in those days, they didn't have, you know, Glocks and 357s and right. pistols. But a sword, sir?
No, I just agreed with you.
Yeah, but a sword was a personal defense weapon. And in some areas of the Roman Empire, absolutely illegal for someone to own and to conceal and to carry other than the government itself. But yet Jesus told them, get a sword. You're going to have to defend yourself in the days to come. And then Peter said, well, Lord, we have two here. And Jesus said, with a smile on his face. The Bible doesn't say that, but I can imagine that Jesus had a smile. He looked at Peter and said, okay, that'll be enough. You know, but we got to make sure we have something, and you guys are going to need to have this. So, of course, Peter pulled it out when the soldiers came and cut a man's ear off. I guess he thought Jesus said, just go ahead and start chopping people up. But, of course, Jesus didn't say that. But he said, you need to make sure that you can defend yourself. Now, I think of another thing Jesus said. In trying to illustrate a spiritual truth to the crowds around him, he gave a parable. And of course, the truth, the context of the truth, he was talking spiritually, and that is we need to protect ourselves against the onslaught of Satan and what he would like to do to us. But what he said was, he said, it's like a man who is in his house and he's fully armed. And then the strong man comes to attack him. But he cannot plunder the house because the man was prepared. The man was armed. He said, or it could be like a man who is not armed and has not defended his home, and the strong man comes and plunders his house. Well, the reason Jesus used that illustration is because it's a common sense, self-evident truth. I call it a no-duh truth. The people understood it. Jesus was saying, look, just like you defend your homes, just like commonsensically you take care of your own children and families, he said, do that spiritually as well, because Satan wants to come in and plunder your family just as well. But the fact is, he used the illustration. He said, a man fully armed, protecting his house. So Jesus affirmed the fact that there is nothing unfaithful, there's nothing ungodly, there's nothing wrong about a man of God, a woman of God, a people of God, taking natural, common sense, self-defense measures. I think of Nehemiah on the wall, Pastor Dan. He told the men. Yeah, he said, while you got a shovel, while you're digging and working, I want you also to have a sword on your side. He posted other men with spears and bows and arrows. You know, I think of Moses getting the children of Israel out of Egypt. He divided the men up into fighting units and fighting men, and they made and took up whatever arms they could and defended themselves, not only on the way out of Egypt, but while they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They had a regular military they finally developed among the people, among the fighting men.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and so these are God's people. I mean, we can find throughout the scriptures where God's people are told, look, defend yourselves, not only nationally, but also personally. So that's something I deal with in my book to a greater extent than what we've just talked. I know we're running out of time, but
we got about 7 seconds before we, well, we need, we got about a minute before break.
Well, you go ahead.
Anyway, folks, the book is called Be Thou Prepared. And I really strongly suggest you go to Carl's website, which I'm going to make him give the address in a minute. But there are all the other books that I mentioned. And make sure that if you haven't picked up a couple of Final Warning, you really need to do that. You'll make you realize where we're at. And then you get this Be Thou Prepared. Because, folks, you need to be prepared. I do not know how the Christian church and Christianity ever got around to the way that we seem to be now. Turn the other cheek and let yourself be slaughtered. Because that's not what the Bible says. Now then, Carl, where can they find your wonderful ministry?
Thank you. CarlGallups.com, CarlGallups, CarlGallups.com. Everything about me is there. My books, all my videos, thousands of them, my teaching stuff, my church link, my radio programs, everything right there.
Boy, listen to what he said, folks. Everything about him. Anyway, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back. Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.org. www.massagebranch.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Well, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless or poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that come from all over the city seeking miracle prayers. Even when they know that we don't have what it is that they need, they will come over and ask for prayers so they can get it. You understand what I'm saying? They come over even knowing that I don't have that certain thing that they need, but they come over prayers because people send them there. We have been doing this for going on 16 years, and we have helped thousands. No, I scratch it. I have helped no one. You hear that? Tonight, Pastor Dan said, I have helped no one, and I haven't helped anyone. It is the Father and the Son and His Holy Spirit that has helped the people. And I repent of ever saying that our ministry or anything we did has ever helped anyway, because it is only that Messiah wills it and wants it done, and it gets done because He is our provision. When people donate and support this place, it's because He has put it upon their heart to donate. And so that's how I leave it, is in His hands. This ministry doesn't sell anything. And I know somebody pointed to me, I got a donation from, I think it was New Zealand a while ago, and they were talking about buying something that they heard in a commercial. Well, folks, those things that you buy in those commercials, that's the radio station. And I strongly suggest that you test out their products, because ABR has some pretty trustworthy products. But that is the station. That's not us. We don't sell anything. What all comes is we come, it's by faith. That's how we do it, is by faith. We don't sit on the couch and wait for the money to come and feed. We get up off the couch, we get in the car, and we go to the mission church, we open the door, and we feed the people. The Father has never let us down. That's why I will spend down to the last of everything in my pocket, because it's not my money, it's the Father's money. And He will replenish it. So pray about supporting this mission, church. You see, we've got no guidelines for anything. When people come in, they ask for a prayer. If we have a way to fill the need, we fill the need. If we don't, well, then we pray it in and pray for the people. Anyway, people who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. You know, we are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another. And as me as a preacher, my motto as a preacher is, a preacher should be the brokest guy on the block because he gave all the money away. And that's usually how it is. You know, we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate it online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all of this information at prophecyhour.com. Or if you need to, you can call me for information at 620-878-4682. And do not forget, if you have a prayer request that you would like, you can call me for that. But if you have one that you want to send me in the mail or by email, I will print it out. If it comes by email, I'll take it and we'll pray on it at service, anoint it with oil and pray on it. And if you include your address, we'll mail it back to you. And that's, of course, no charge to you. So pray about it. And now we're back talking with a wonderful pastor, if he can hear me. Anyway, it's Pastor Carl Gallups, and we're talking about his new book. What's the name of that book, Carl?
Yeah, the name of that book is Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution and Times of Trouble. Be Thou Prepared.
Amen. Well, that's wonderful, because, you know, I have so many, you know, over the years, because I what I do, I have so many say, well, we're just going to, you know, by faith. You know, we're just doing it all by faith. We're going to sit on the couch and you know, I guess they believe that God's going to keep the grocery store open. I don't know. But they just don't want to prepare. And I really don't understand that, especially with all the, I mean, we should be prepared for just a storm or a tornado or anything. But, you know, more and more we find that, you know, people said, oh, I can't get prepared. You know, that's tempting the Lord. Back to you.
Well, you know, yeah, and you know, brother, thank you. And that is almost exclusively an American or highly westernized attitude. And here's what I mean by that. Most of the world doesn't live like that. Most of the rest of the world realizes they have to prepare. Some of them eke out a life day by day. Some of them don't eat but one meal a day if they get that. And they understand about rational, reasonable preparedness. And the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speak of being prepared, either spiritually, which is very important, and or, along with that, physically. And we look at and I do this with my book. I go all the way back to the early church. And I look how they provided for each other and took care of each other and sold some of their own possessions and brought the money before the church to be used to helping other people. Why? Well, there was famine in the land. There were earthquakes in the land, natural disasters. But guess what? There was also persecution. For the first several decades, the early church was made up entirely of Jews. Most of them, because they were believers in Christ, had lost their families. They were rejected. They were, a lot of them lost their livelihood, the family business that they would have had or inherited or were working in. Some of them lost their total financial wealth, and some of the churches were in difficult times because of difficult natural disasters, and Paul was picking up collections for the churches, for the church of Jerusalem. So we examine in the New Testament, they were feeding the widows because widows had a tough time in those days. So what was the church doing? Well, it was preparing, it was prepping, if you will, and taking care of one another. And that's the key, and I really make this emphasis in my book, Pastor Dan, that look, the reason, and let me give this spiritual point, and then I'll give you an illustration that I have lived that should be pretty dramatic.
Okay.
The spiritual point is this. We prepare. We store up a little food. We store up a little water and water cleansing devices. We make sure we have shelter and tools and methods to protect ourselves, etc., in case things happen. Make sure we have a little extra medicine. If you're a diabetic or you're a heart patient, what are you going to do if you're in a tornado or a hurricane zone or an earthquake zone and you can't get to a doctor maybe for weeks, maybe months? What are you going to do about your diabetic supplies? What are you going to do about your heart medication? If you don't have it, you die. I mean, of course we are in constant state of preparing. But watch, I tell Christians, you don't have to look like a shaggy, bearded, grub-eating, camouflage-wearing, hiding in the woods in a hole in the ground prepper. You don't have to do that. Just go on with your life. But while you're doing it, just take some common sense precautions. Make some preparations for tough times. You don't know when civil disobedience may break out. Look at Ferguson. I mean, Ferguson just changed into a war zone overnight. People were going about their innocent daily lives, and there was a police shooting, and that town has never been the same since. And there were days when people couldn't come out of their homes. There was martial law. There were, you know, rioting in the streets and more, you know, threats of violence. And you couldn't just send your wife to the grocery store in Ferguson in those days. What do you do? Okay. Well, so I tell Christians, look, make your preparations. And here's the spiritual principle. Number one, because you are biblically commanded to prepare for your family. The man who does not provide for his own family is worse than an unbeliever, the scripture says. Okay? So, prepare for yourself and for your family, commonsensically, for tough times, whatever they may be. Number one. Number two, we do that not so we can run and hide in a hole and put your arms around your food and water and say, this is mine, 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 mine. We do it so that we are then free to minister to the world around us in times of tragedy. And I emphasize that in my book over and over and over. Now let me give you and your listeners a real life example. So my family, I've got a grown son. He's married and has, you know, a son of his own, my grandson. My family, we were in my home in Northwest Florida when Hurricane Ivan hit us dead on. The eye went right over us. 163-mile-an-hour sustained winds, 190-mile-an-hour wind gusts for hours and hours and hours. It stripped bark off of trees, leaves off of trees, toppled huge trees, every power pole, towers, buildings, ripped roofs off of buildings, the county jail, the law enforcement center destroyed it, people's homes, thousands of homes decimated and destroyed. A tidal surge came in on the shore, went, I forgot how far, a mile inward, flooded people, hurt people, destroyed homes and cars and property. It was a war zone. We went through that. We rode that out in my house, and man, it was the grace of God that we weren't killed that night. We had tornadoes ripping through our front yard. You could hear them. Got up the next morning, you could see the trees just twisted out and laid over like matchsticks where the tornadoes missed our home by 100 feet, but devastated everything in front of it. We went outside. We couldn't get out of our driveway. We couldn't drive down the street. Even if we did get out of a driveway, you couldn't go down the street. The streets were just completely covered in debris and power lines. All right, so we're in a war zone, and I'm going to tell you, Pastor Dan, the first thing that went through my mind when I opened the door and looked out, because we had our windows boarded. We couldn't see out the windows. I had to open the door. It was like Dorothy stepping into the Wizard of Oz. I mean, we just said, oh, my gosh, we're not even living in the same state. Where are we? It just looked like somebody had dropped a nuclear bomb. The first thing that went through my head was, okay, we're all safe. Nobody's injured. I looked at the house. We didn't have any leaks or roof damage that I knew of. We had shelter. We had prepared. We had some generators. We had some fuel. We had food that would last several weeks, maybe even several months if we were careful. We had water stored, and we had water cleansing materials. Of course, we had the clothing in our house. We had guns and ammo because we're hunters and we believe in the Second Amendment. So we had all of that. And I made that assessment in my mind in 30 seconds. I mean, that was my first concern. Is my family provided for? As soon as that was over, I looked at my son, and he said the same thing at about the same time I did. We said, there are people dead in this. We've got to go help. We've got to go help. And my son had a four-wheel drive pickup, great, big old, huge Chevrolet four-wheel drive, jacked up. So we said, okay. We loaded the back end with chainsaws, shovels, axes. We took ice chests full of food, water. We took some extra clothing. We didn't know what we were going to find. We took chains and come-alongs, and your country folks will know what all that is. And we loaded that thing up, and we started cutting our way out of our own yard, then down through the street, and then we would drive over whatever we could with that four-wheel drive, and we started looking for people that were hurt, people that were calling for help. We went as far as we could go. We strapped guns on our sides. We put an AR-15 in the front seat. There was no law enforcement, Pastor Dan. It was, you know, people, you know, in tragedies, people say, hey, is somebody coming? When's the authorities going to get here? Well, let me tell you what, that hurricane, There was nobody coming, Pastor Dan. Nobody. If I had been laid up in there with a broken back and a leg severed because of the storm, there was nobody coming for me. And so that's, you know, people forget that life can turn on a dime. And so, but watch. So we went out and ministered to others, Pastor Dan. People couldn't believe it. You know, I can't believe you've come to help me. Well, we're doing it in the name of Christ. We're doing it in the name of Jesus. We were ministering to people. We were giving the witness. We were giving the gospel to people. We were helping other people. We finally made our way to the river. We got a boat. We got on the river. We were going around. The boats were overturned. People's houses were underwater. I mean, we just went out on a life-saving mission. And you know why we could do that? Because we were prepared. That's my point.
Amen. Amen. Double amen. And you know what? People talk about, you know, I hear a lot of them say, what we're going to do, there's going to be great miracles and things are going to happen, you know, during, you know, the tribulation period and through this tough time. Well, what you just said, yeah, absolutely. But you should make those provisions, because here's the thing. If you're not one of those that are out there with the provisions to help others, you're going to be one of the ones that need to be provided for. And yes, I do believe that miraculously our Lord will take care of some people, but I believe he's going to use those people like you, people that will have a witness and understanding, so they'll know and understand. And so, yes, it's going to be a great witnessing time, but we need to be prepared. And absolute, back to you.
Thank you. Well, no, you're absolutely right. And of course, ultimately our faith is in God. And of course, there are times when we're going to have to depend upon the miraculous. But you know, sometimes God works miraculous through his people. And so let's say you're sitting there totally unprepared, so I'm just going to trust in the Lord. And the next day, hurricane comes through, devastates your entire life, shuts your city down, you're not prepared, you've got enough food for another day or two, maybe you forgot to go shopping that week, you don't have any fuel, you don't have a generator, the water supply has been totally polluted and you don't have means to take, and all of a sudden you realize, my gosh, if nobody comes, we could die in a few days. And then you start praying, Lord, miraculously, show. And what happens? Carl shows up at your house with food and water and clothes. Oh, praise God, the Lord miraculously provided. Yeah, but it's because I was faithful enough and biblical enough to prepare, and he used me. But that's not really a very good description of your faith.
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. And there's the point. You know, we see generally, I mean, while we have seen in the Bible the manna and different things, you know, miraculously appear, though the standard is, I like to go to Joseph, you know. Joseph prepared. And he prepared, and he kept the whole country alive. But why? Because he prepared, and it was biblical, and it was the right thing to do. But the point is that the Father usually, instead of making it appear out of nowhere, he uses people like Carl, or like us, or like others, to fulfill that need, because that's how he does it. Back to you.
I mean, you know, can the Lord cause a bush to burst into flame? Can he part the Red Sea? Of course. But I only read of one burning bush in the entirety of human history. I only read of one parting of the Red Sea. But he can, and he works miracles all the time. Listen, I see miracles. I've seen miracles. I praise God for miracles. I'm a believer in miracles. I pray for miracles, and I have witnessed miracles. But I'm saying the vast majority of the time he works through his people. He works through the church. He works through the body of Christ. And sadly, it's usually the ones that are prepared and the ones that have given forethought, that have to do all the work, while those that are sitting around saying, I'm just gonna be a person of faith, really wind up kind of being a moocher and a freeloader. Now, we don't mind. We're gonna take care of our brothers and sisters, but please just know, it doesn't speak well of your, quote, faithfulness when you're having to be bailed out because you didn't prepare.
Yeah, amen. And I think a lot of that comes back from there being, is that it's a gospel that they're being spoon-fed, because if they were reading the Bible, they would feel like you and I. I do truly believe that. But I just don't think that the American people or Western people are really reading their Bible. I think they're being spoon-fed a doctrine of, hey, you know, make sure you donate, you know, you believe in Jesus, sit down, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to be smooth. I think that's what they've been spoon-fed, and it's called them out of action. And the out of action it's also called them from, it stopped them from speaking up about all of these things that are bringing judgment upon us, and they've been silent. So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, all the way across, you know.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I deal with some of that in my book. I just want to tell your listeners, look, this book, I mean, it's been heavily endorsed, and that doesn't, you know, mean that it's, you know, the gospel truth from beginning to end, but it's been heavily endorsed by really renowned and well-known men and women of God, and the thing that they're all saying about it is, look, this book could save your life. I mean, you know, this book is balanced. It is biblical. It is deeply spiritual, but at the same time, it's very, very practical. There are four or five chapters in the middle of it. You'll see when you read it, Pastor Dan, that a how-to manual, you know, what are the seven basic needs of life? How to supply them? People ask me questions all the time as a former cop. Well, what kind of guns do I need? Well, I deal with that. Now, you know, I don't go to great lengths. I'm not trying to be a gun expert, although I
right.
am. But I'm not, you know, but I'm not trying to have a gun manual. But I answer Christians' questions. Everything from, you know, should we turn the other cheek and what about the martyrs to, you know, what kind of guns do I need? You know, how do I purify water? In emergency, how do I store food for long periods of time without it rotting? Should I get seeds? What do I do with seeds? What kind of seeds should I get? I deal with all of that in four or five chapters right in the middle. But before you get to that, I deal with a lot of Bible and headlines. And hey, and listen, you and I haven't even, the show's almost over, but we haven't even talked about persecution. Good gracious.
My, yeah.
Good gracious,
yeah.
with this new Supreme Court ruling of gay marriage, that radical element of that faction, they're going to come straight to the churches. They're going to go straight in the public school systems. They're going to start teaching your children the mechanics of homosexual sex. They're going to start demanding that Christian business owners, even churches and pastors, submit to their will, and service their needs, like, you know, marriage and business, and you're going to have to do it, or we're going to sue you. Some of them are going to get radical and attack this killer the other day that killed the two news people. He was a homosexual racist, you know, and filled with anger and just started attacking and killing, and it was horrible and tragic. But listen, what if somebody like that comes to a church? I mean, so you know, my book addresses all of that. What about all the Muslims that are being implanted into our nation, hundreds of thousands a year under this administration alone? And some of them have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and to terrorism. We know that. Our borders are porous. The racial divide in our nation is horrific in some areas. Civil disobedience. What if the stock market truly, we had a little blip the other day that didn't even make it into the top 15 of devastations.
Right.
But what if it crashes? What if the world economy crashes? I mean, people are going to turn on each other. Your next door neighbor could turn into a killer. So, you know, that's why this book is titled Be Thou Prepared.
Right.
And then the subtitle is Preparing the Church, Equipping the Church for Persecution and Times of Trouble. People need this book. It's the only book in the world right now that is like this. There are a lot of prepper manuals out there, but this is not a prepper manual. This is a treatise, an eclectic understanding of this whole issue. And how do we respond biblically? How do we respond spiritually? How do we respond emotionally? And then how do we respond logistically and with physical preparation? So it kind of covers everything, and I think people are going to really get a lot of use out of this.
Right, and you should bring a lot of practicality to it, not just because of your biblical knowledge, but because you are an ex-law enforcement officer, so, you know, that should have helped in the writing of this book.
Yeah. Well, it did. It did a lot because I dealt with protection and personal protection and safety. I dealt with laws about who's obligated to who. I mean, I quote Supreme Court rulings in my book that the Supreme Court has said the police are not obligated to protect you. They're not.
Right.
They're obligated to clean up the mess after it's over. They're obligated to try to catch the guy that slaughtered your family, but they're not obligated to protect you. That's a Supreme Court ruling.
Right.
Who's obligated to protect us? You are. You are.
Right.
And so, I mean, I deal with that in my book. How did I know all that? Because I lived it for 10 years. I knew the laws. I enforced the laws. I had to go to school to study all of those laws. And so, yeah, and plus I've been in shootings. I've been shot at. I've had to shoot at people as a police officer. I know what's involved. And so, you know, I write about this, and I'm trying to help the average Christians and the average pastors and the average churches out there who just don't know the answers to these things, or they're not sure if their answers are correct, or they're not sure if their answers are biblical. You know, what do we do about this? What does a pastor say? What does a former lawman who is a man of God, what does he say? Well, I put it all in a book. Everything that I know about this, I've dumped it into this book.
Okay. We've got about a minute left. Two things I want to say is, well, first now, folks, that new book is called Be Thou Prepared. But, Carl, I've been watching some of your things that have come up. Soon I'll get a hold of your agency or whatever. I want you to come back on and talk to the people because you've got a lot of good points about this new persecution that's coming in, like through our schools with gay history and some of these other things, and I want you to come back and talk about it. And that'll take a whole program. So, anyway, you be blessed, Carl. Tell them where your website's at, where they can find the books, and we'll get out of here.
Thank you. I would always be honored to come back on the show. CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com. Everything is there. Or you can go to Amazon, put my name in Amazon, go to my author page, and see all of that stuff there, too.
All right. Well, you be blessed, brother. Thanks and shalom to you.
You too. Thank you. Shalom.
Well, folks, Carl Gallops, you've heard him on the air a lot of times if you're one of my regular guests, one of my regular listeners. If not, if you're new, Carl Gallops is a retired police officer. He's been a pastor for a number of years. He writes a lot of books. He does some good things. Go check him out at carlgallops.com. or wherever you find this show, radio program, not show. Shows are to entertain. We are here to teach you, so it's a program. Anyway, you can find a link at our website. So, prepare, folks. It's not a big thing. Buy extra. If you're on some kind of medication, talk to your pharmacist and get a few months' supply of that medication. Because, you know, if a civil disorder happens, a fire, anything, you could be without your medicine for months, and that could, in a lot of cases, kill you. So pray about it. Don't just rely on God to do it. Listen to God. He will tell you to prepare. The Bible tells you to prepare. Anyway, you must remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after how many? After 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. If you don't have Yeshua in that personal relationship, all this preparation means nothing. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church if you can make a donation tonight. If not, you can mail it to me. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.